Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse. Snacky tunes.
right, Snacky Tunes.
Caught a little of you venting right there.
I'm not venting. I'm having a good time. Here we go. VHS of Beta, new single. Name of the song, Craig?
Breaking Bones.
Breaking Bones.
We got Craig from VHS of Beta live on Snacky Tunes. We're going to do a little DJ set later on the show. You right over there?
Yeah, I'm just feeling a little embarrassed that I didn't bring my VHS of Beta jumpsuit that I made back in 2000.
I got a few at the house.
Did you ever see that picture? Do you ever know that story?
Uh-uh.
We saw you guys. I forget even forget the video clip, but
it was like an old like InSound used to do like streaming of concerts. Do you remember that? Like back in like 2000.
And you guys were wearing jumpsuits.
So forever.
You were wearing jumpsuits, and you had like.
Oh, you remember
glasses?
10 years ago?
The first thing we did was come out with.
Yeah.
We tried to look.
So for Halloween, totally my friend Andy and I. This is before I knew you, and that we had like similar friends in Louisville. We dressed up in VHS or Beta jumpsuits for Halloween.
Those things suck. They were so hot and sweaty.
Oh my god! Well, I wish you would have put that on the website before I went to like a Halloween party.
Was that like your first look?
No, because when we first started out as kids, we were just like a punk rock band, so we just looked like indie rock kids.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then the jumpsuits and the tech glasses too, right?
Yeah, I mean we were touring with bands that were doing different things like Manor Astro Man and different like U.S. Maple, like bands that really took an interest and pride in like
theatrics.
Presenting themselves as something different.
Yeah.
So I think like
gotta have a gimmick.
We wanted to do that too.
Late 90s or 2000 was a good time for a gimmick.
Yeah,
it was a really good time.
For sure.
And also instant merch. instant merch besides the t-shirt.
Oh my god, if you sold silkscreen VHS or Beta onesies even now.
Onesies.
Jumpsuits.
I like onesies.
Yeah.
I'm wearing
a prototype underneath my clothing. You've seen it.
Yeah. If it's on the radio, it's copywritten. So, right. You know, exactly. We'll have our lawyers sort this out afterwards. Right.
And we also have with us today the wonderful Christina Tosi from Momofuku Milk Bar. Welcome, Christina,
to
Snacky Tunes. We worked with Christina this summer for our barbecue blowout, and you made delicious ices.
Yes.
Which you tried to sneak booze in, but we weren't allowed to do.
That's correct.
But they were delicious, and they were really...
They were really delicious. And what was the cookie that you made? Pesto?
We made a basil cookie, which ended up... Yeah, it was like a herbaceous pesto.
It was really good.
Cookie.
Herbaceous.
It had a great color to it.
Yeah, it
was. Kind of like the neon green that's on Craig's skin right now, if you were to see it.
So Christina, let's go back. Let's do a life in of Christina in New York.
Okay.
When did you move to New York?
I moved to New York probably a little over 10 years ago. That's crazy. That makes me pretty old.
But you did not get straight into the, cause for those who don't know, when we're leading to, you are now like the master baker at the Momofuku Empire, if you will.
Kind of.
Kind of as being, you being my, I'm sorry, is that not your name on the front of the cookbook? But you didn't come here as a baker.
I came here to go to culinary school and just sort of figure it out. I went to college in Virginia and sort of like followed what the parents wanted me to do. And then I've always had a really sweet tooth. And so I sort of just decided to throw in the towel and move to New York and sort of figure the rest of it out, not really knowing anything about anything.
There's a pun in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And then you were over at our cross may have passed, as we just found out over the phone, when you were over at WD50, which is when we first met Sam. I may have been the one being like, hi, this is Darren calling for Sam.
Yeah, he's not here.
He's not
Can
here.
Can I take a message?
It's like, damn it. But so you were over working with Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing for them?
I was a pastry cook. I sort of, I had worked at a few other restaurants in the city as a pastry cook, and I was really just drawn to WD50. For sort of the thoughtful approach to food, more so than I think what most people think WD-50 is, which is like, you know, smoke and mirrors sort of like food, which it isn't at all.
It is not.
No.
We had a birthday dinner there that changed. It was actually changed the way that we thought about food for forever.
Yeah. And so I had eaten there once and it did the same sort of thing for me. It changed the way I thought about food, and it was so sort of like revolutionary in just in terms of the way I thought about food just from eating a meal there. And so just to get my foot in the door, I just sort of walked in and was just like, hey, I'm wondering if I can work for free as a pastry cook for Sam, or just I'll do really whatever you need me to do for free. to work there. And they let me work for free. And then I eventually
How kind of them.
Yeah, how kind of them. And I eventually got hired as a pastry cook at such a small kitchen that it's literally hard to work for free in there because it's such a tight-knit group of people. And a pastry cook left. I got hired on, and all of a sudden I was a paid employee at WD-50, which is like the greatest feat in the entire world.
Now, is that a common thing that people will come in or chefs will come in, aspiring chefs, and be like, I would like to work for free?
I would say it's a sort of a dying approach to getting your foot in the door and learning, where, you know, you are so sort of like inspired or drawn to a kitchen and approaching it with a level of humility. Like, I may know a thing or two, but I know nothing in comparison to, I'm sure, what you do. So I would just like to work here for free. It's on a level, it's sort of like a safe approach, because you're just like, I may fuck everything up in your kitchen, but I am here because I want to dedicate my time to like sort of learning your craft, and whatever influence I may get from even just washing dishes, I'll do it. And it's a dying breed. Most people don't approach it.
I was the only person that stodging was like a week or a very short amount of time.
Yeah, there's sort of like two approaches. One is like, hey, I'm traveling through, I'd like to sort of just get a little sort of like window into your kitchen or your operation, in which case you usually set up a formal stage. But some people are students or they have another job and they're just like, I want to work here in my free time because this is what I think about doing day and night and every minute I'm not at work. And I am positive you won't actually pay me to do this job, so I'll do whatever job that you have for me for free.
Like an apprenticeship. Yeah. Like other trades do that.
I think the only words you actually need to know are yes, chef.
Yeah, exactly. And just yes, chef. It's my fault. Yes, chef.
Yes, chef. Yes.
Or
yes,
nothing chef. At all. Or you nothing. Just keep your mouth shut until someone tells you.
Like, does I'm sorry carry any weight?
No, you don't even. No. It's, nobody wants to hear it.
Nobody wants it. I think that there's still like, I know like a lot of like, there's a Japanese French connection, where like a lot of Japanese chefs will go to France. Like, it's a thing of honor to go and work for free.
Absolutely. I would just say, I mean, that was sort of my approach to working in any restaurant in this city until, you know, it's sort of like the get your foot in the door move. You don't know how long it's going to be. You don't know how long it's going to be rent, money. No one wants to hear anything. You keep your mouth shut until you've sort of shown that you're dedicated enough to the chef or the food or the establishment.
So you would never go in there and be like, oh, my bills are so,
you know, it's funny.
You don't talk. Like, it's not about you. Yeah.
But, you know? I mean, as we've worked in production, we've had interns showing up, and on, like, day two, we're like, oh, can you come in tomorrow? Like, oh, well, you know, it's costing me a lot of money to get here. And it's like, I'm like, okay. Like, okay, then don't show up.
It's really sad.
Like, you either show up and you get the opportunity, or you sit at home. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, and look, it's not, and I think as everyone understands, like, even you didn't come from a bucket of money. What do you think? No. But it's sort of like, it's like you just find a way to make it work in New York.
Yeah, that's part of the romance of it. Yeah. I mean, you move to the city because you want to do something here. You don't move here to like be rolling in it. And it's just sort of like it's so hard to find.
That's a good pastry joke.
Yeah.
Because you are actually rolling in it. You are rolling in it now.
No.
So you're at WD-50, and then at the same time, Momofuku is opening they're doing the Sambar, and it's still the early. I remember.
Yeah, Noodle Bar was open.
And then I remember.
Sambar was serving burritos.
I remember those times.
It was a burrito joint. Night and day, it was a burrito joint.
I remember those times.
It just started. Sambar wasn't doing that great as a burrito joint. Dave and Wiley were really great friends. They were more or less in the same neighborhood because the East Village wasn't even like really the food haven that it is now, and they were just starting to do that sort of like late night menu where it was like, man, we had a shitty burrito service today and tonight, and all of our friends are going to come and like rally with us, so we'll just cook for them. And what they ended up cooking was what sort of Sambar's menu is now, which was whatever they wanted to cook that they thought was delicious, and there weren't very many boundaries on it.
Yeah, flavor's definitely on the menu there.
Yeah.
And then so essentially the DOH comes to Sambar, wrecks a whole bunch of stuff, and you have to put in a new. I don't even know what the system is.
Yeah. At the same time as well, the Department of Health was sort of cracking down on this technique of cooking.
Because the city was broke.
Yeah. And it's sort of like an industrial strength food saver, I guess is the best way to think of it. And some people used it for swords and some people used it for cooking. And the Department of Health was really worried about harmful bacteria growing inside this industrial strength, like food safe, oxygen free bag.
Right.
When I was working at WD-50, we sort of figured out a way to write a hazard analysis plan, and Dave basically needed the same help. So Wiley just sort of brushed me up to the East Village and was just like, hey, help my buddy out. And I was leaving WD-50 at the time anyways, and Dave needed help, and he didn't really, there was no real like job description or job role. It was just like, hey, you seem like a good employee. We'll just have you do whatever. None of it was kitchen work. It was all just sort of helping piece together the duct tape.
The duct tape. And so then, and then how did you just make that? We're going to quickly, before we get to the next song, how did you make the transition from fixer to kitchen?
I mean, I loved baking. I would fix things all day and I would just go home and bake and bring all of the stuff that I baked at home in and would feed people with it, because that's sort of like what you do when that's what you really love to do. Even if it happens like late at night at home, you bring it in to feed people with. And Dave just threw me into the kitchen one day and was just like, go make dessert. I'm sick of you bringing dessert in from home. We have these two restaurants that don't have dessert. Go make dessert. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right, awesome. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about crack pie and the the cereal ice cream and all that stuff. And then the launch of Momofuku Milk Bar, Brooklyn and the Cookbook, and marathons and dogs. I'm going to send you, during the musical break, I'm going to send you more pictures of my dog.
Awesome.
Awesome. Never forget, what do we got? What song?
We have something off of the brand new We Are Augustine's record.
Oh, Pela.
Ex-Pela, called Chapel Song, who'll be live in studio in a few weeks.
Oh, no. That's awesome. Snacky tune. We'll be right back.
All right, We Are Augustines, live on, well, not live, but the song we just played live on Snacky Tunes. Right now, forget?
Yes.
Good stuff. Great banter. We have Christina Tosi from Momofuku Milk Bar in studio. Christina, so you started working in the kitchen at Sambar, and then you opened up, they opened up the Momofuku Milk Bar in the space right next to it, right?
Yeah, we, I had put a dessert on the menu at Sambar, and I convinced Dave to buy a soft serve machine to be able to serve dessert at Noodle Bar. Co-opened with a tasting menu, mm-hmm. and we did a small little dessert tasting there, and then the space became available. It used to be like a dingy old laundromat next to Sambar, and it actually shares a basement with Sambar, and we were worried that a new tenant would come in and sort of steal part of the basement back. We knew we needed to take it over, and we decided to open a bakery.
That's so awesome. And at the same time, Co got 2 Michelin stars, right?
Yeah.
How is Co doing?
Co's great. It's
sold out every time. Every
yeah, every lunch, every dinner.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've only been once. I've never
really?
Been.
Oh, you gotta go. Lunch. The approach to lunch is it's much longer than dinner. Get more courses. It's a little more expensive, but it's like a real experience. You should like show up in your sweatpants and get ready to sit and eat for.
Can we do weekends?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Figure out time. Lunch. Well,
but you know,
it's one turn, so you literally have from noon until, you know, 4:30.
That's like what happened when I went
make
to
make it happen.
That's what happens.
You can come at any time between then.
There are reservation slots just so the kitchen doesn't get slammed. But yeah, you can sit between. I think
it's the same thing at Noma.
1:30.
When I went there for lunch, the lunch is one turn, and you just sit there until they like okay.
Yeah, which is nice because if you're really gonna go down like that, you want to go down in the middle of the day.
You want to walk out of 5, and it feels like that. It's like, you know, like when you go into a house party, and the sun's up. You're like, what happened?
What's going on?
And then this year you came to Brooklyn.
Yeah,
you came to Williamsburg.
Yeah, we so we had this bakery. It definitely sort of hit the ground running, and we very quickly had no space. I guess we had no space to begin with, but we didn't even really have a pastry area or a pastry kitchen before the bakery, so we were used to no space. But we were open from 8 a.m. till midnight. We ran out of space very quickly, and
those lines were out the door.
Just like, holy shit, we need a bigger boat. So we...
Because the jaws of society wanted to eat your food.
So we looked. That was a good one.
Thank
give
you.
Him, give that
come
to
on,
him.
Come on. Don't look. Don't. Come on.
tough crowd over here.
This guy. We looked at a bunch of spaces. And I think we really wanted, you know, part of the fun of getting a bunch of employees smushed into the East Village kitchen was that they really loved where they worked. And so we really wanted to find an area where we could have a huge kitchen, but it also could still be just as fun to go to work and hang out and leave. And we found this great space on Metropolitan Avenue in Williamsburg.
It's awesome.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you guys got to come back. I feel like our employees are always like, oh, whenever I take my 2 days off, I come back. And it's like, you know, we either like painted this or we added that. So.
I was there when there was still the, when it was like the temporary storefront.
Yeah.
Someone definitely like misread an article. They're like, it's just a temporary space. I went.
No, but didn't it
I, like,
start,
I'm pretty
didn't
sure
it
that
a pop up.
It started.
The front is a pop up, but there's no way that back area is a pop up.
No, our entire kitchen's there. It basically was sort of like this creepy warehouse that we have been turning into a kitchen little by little, and I was really bummed because construction and permitting took longer than usual because it's not just the Department of Health, it's the Department of Buildings as well. They're just as bad. And I was just really bummed because I really wanted to have a storefront for the holidays in 2010. And it wasn't going to happen. So I was just sort of like, I'm a very sort of come hell or high water kind of person. And I just got creepy display case and just wheeled it in front of the warehouse and was just like, people can enter through our garage past our van, and if they want to come and buy cookies or cake or pie, they can. I mean, we're in this neighborhood of people that are excited that we're there and nobody can come in. So
it had a really great feel to it. I was like, I hope this is, because like, it's just a door.
it was just a door.
You like, you know that scene in Wayne's World where they open the door and it's all those ninjas fighting?
It was kind of like
I'm like, what is behind this door? And it's massive.
Yeah, it's 11,000 square feet.
And you can buy stuff in this massiveness.
Yeah, but now, so now we turn this like sort of weird storage room into a storefront, which is right next to it. It's in the same building. It's just to the side of our garage. Some people still try and come in through the garage, and they're like, "Hey guys,
What's up?"
You can.
This is where you stage, right? How long do you stage to get a free crack pie?
I don't think we've ever had anybody that wants to come in and work for free for us, which is
that's a shame.
Yeah, it's a dying breed.
It's because you know you're actually part of an empire. No, I'm serious. Like the Momofuku Empire is—it's a growing, modern, you know, new. It's all over the world now.
But why would?
Have you gone to Australia yet?
No, I'm going soon.
But is that like the promise of going soon, or like you're actually?
No, I'm going soon. I think for me, we talked about opening a milk bar in Australia, and it was just like we have to figure out this warehouse first. But you know, Australians are crazy. They love strong coffee. They love good butter and. You know,
wait, there's
fresh
butter,
eggs, fresh milk. Yeah,
cookies?
It's crazy. There's butter in the cookies. But the guys from Co are actually going over first to open up a place in a few months.
So Co Australia.
Yeah.
Bloomin' Onion.
Bloomin' Onion for sure.
Let's get into the cookbook. I love the cookies. I want to make it home.
Yeah.
Can I do that with this cookbook?
You sure can.
How did this come about?
The Momo cookbook was just sort of like wrapping up in the editing process like 2 years ago. And I think probably anybody that's a restaurant or food service establishment owner in New York always gets the, you know, for as many lovely people that are in New York, there's also a ton of people that are just sort of vultures trying to like benefit off of whatever it is you might have that's valuable. And people started asking about a cookbook like weeks after we opened the doors. And I mean, it certainly wasn't anything I considered. And I think after about a year, the Momofuku cookbook was wrapping up and it didn't have any of the milk bar recipes because we had just sort of opened. And all of a sudden, it was just like they wanted this 100-page Momofuku cookbook that had all of the Momofuku recipes and all the milk bar recipes. And I think it just sort of became a growing demand. So we decided to write a cookbook sort of where the Momofuku cookbook left off.
I didn't know that you had cereal milk trademarked.
We do. I think we have cereal milk, crack pie. Some bakery in Pasadena took our like recipe of crack pie from the LA Times and is like selling whole crack pies and slices in Pasadena and calling it crack pie.
Can you sue them?
How does that work? God knows. I don't know. I'm a baker, not a lawyer.
Tell the people what's in crack pie.
Crack pie is kind of like a sugar pie. It's kind of like a where gooey butter cake meets a chess pie. It's got a salty oat cookie crust and just like a dense buttery, sugary filling.
I thought it's real
summer food.
Yeah, it's honestly it's butter, sugar, milk powder, heavy cream. It's like all the best parts of baked goods.
Yum. What's your favorite thing right now coming out of your bakery?
I'm really on a grasshopper pie kick, which is crazy. It's like it's a brownie pie with a like minty cheesecake swirl. And a graham cracker crust. It's not really like anything that I think is like, it's not a trademarked name or anything, but I've been really
trademark
into
it here as we approved earlier.
Yeah. There you
ideas
go.
On it's online on, radio.
It's on,
we actually it's on had radio, the, pistachio, cake balls, which are
oh yeah,
amazing.
Those cake balls are awesome.
By the way, I remember that, Sue had her birthday party at the Ace and was the first time I had cake balls. And she's like, careful. And I was like, whatever. Look how small they are. I think after two,
after
you know,
two.
You know when you get that weird like way too much sugar in your skin thing. So I mean, those things are insane.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy. I think she brought. I don't know how many cake truffles she brought. I mean, we make these like very sort of involved layer cakes, and we used to slice into them and sell them by the slice when we first opened the bakery, and it became sort of such a hot mess of watching a counter employee trying to cut into this like 6-inch tall cake and give everybody the perfect slice and this and that we were just like, there's got to be an easier way to get, you know, you need something that you can pop into your mouth.
I can only say for me, for that those type of desserts, not being the person, like one or two bites and I'm good. Anything after that, I mean, it's just like over, it's like all you can taste is just the sugar and overwhelming, but a little bite of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of
that birthday cake goes
enter
a long
the
way.
Cake truffles
enter the cake truffles
The birthday cake.
Yeah.
Goes a long way.
Yeah.
So what do you wait? So now that you had this problem in Pasadena, you're going to put this cookbook out. Now, do you? How do you become ever vigilant in the?
I mean, I think that. What are you going to do? I mean, it's sugar and butter baked together in a pie. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
We didn't reinvent the wheel. Yeah, we just made something
hold
on
a second,
accident.
Hold a second. I have to say that you might not have reinvented the wheel, but you definitely took it. There wasn't crack pie before you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the intellectual property that people come.
I mean, they're calling.
It's not like Momofuku angel cake.
It's
crack pie.
It's not like they're putting it on the label on their menu as like Momofuku. Like they're not even giving you a shout out.
Yeah,
that's one thing. It's like, look, if you don't live in New York, we're buddies with them. It's like, you know, if it was your buddies, you're like, okay, you can do this. Whatever,
yeah,
you know.
I guess for me, it's just like, there were plenty of other sort of things to worry about where it's just like, I don't, God knows, maybe somebody put this much sugar and butter and whatever. I'm sure like our lawyers will do something to it. Dave is the one that was the real sort of like, pusher behind getting like crack pie and cereal milk trademarked.
Did you say
because
pusher and crack pie in the same sentence? You are killing it today.
Thank you. And he said this, you know, probably a week after the doors opened and he saw the lines. And I was just like, you are, dude. Old man, you are crazy. And I mean, he was right. He has sort of like these weird soothsayer abilities about him. And he was just like, someday somebody's going to come and try and steal your ideas and make them and say that they're their own. So,
but how do you trademark cereal milk? Do you get like a cut every time someone writes that somewhere?
No, it's crazy. Kellogg's doesn't even want to have anything to do with us.
Huh.
I mean, it's the same sort of thing where it's like cereal milk is ours, but at the same time, it's like people have been drinking cereal milk for ages.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into
my own adventure cereal milk, but they're pretty awesome. And so that your publisher loves us.
Yeah.
Where and when can I get this book and how do I get it?
You can pre-order it right now on Amazon.com.
Oh, no.
The book comes out in stores on October 25th.
Just in time for Halloween.
Yeah, just in time for Halloween or the holidays.
Here's a cake ball.
And you can come to our cookbook party on October 27th. It's going to be at the commissary. Are you going to be out of town?
I'm going to be in Austin.
I will be here. See you there.
You're not allowed to go if I'm not here.
That's we're going to have guest DJs, so maybe you
should
be one of our
guest DJs. Would actually love to do. We'll make it a sweet DJ set.
It's
going to
be a sick party.
Give me some credit there.
We're really going to get in the mix.
All right.
Yeah.
Crack pie.
Okay. Well, Christina, thank you so much.
Thanks
we're
going to
come by the store.
And thanks again for being part of the barbecue this summer.
Oh, I had a really great time. Yeah. It was pretty awesome.
That's awesome. And all the stores, what's the website? Because there are too many stores to...
Milkbarstore.com.
Awesome. And that's where you go to pre-order cakes and things like that.
Yes.
If you want to impress your significant other, get them a birthday cake. Or just get them a cake.
Yeah, cake truffles.
Cake truffles. But then only give them a slice because you want to get the reward. Anyway. thank you so much. We got... what do we got coming up next?
We're just going to play one song because we want to make sure we get leave enough time to speak with Craig from VH Beta. It's Can't. It's Chris Taylor's new side project. He was from Grizzly Bear.
Can't wait to hear it. Snacky Tunes, puns all Monday. Thanks so much to Roberta's, and shout out to the Tiki Disco family. What an amazing season. Craig, I saw you there every week.
I'm a faithful. I got the card and everything.
Oh, I don't have a card. I got
to
talk to them.
You got to be an alcoholic to have the card.
Oh, yeah.
at least a weekend alcoholic.
That's not an and or thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, all right, here we go. Can't on Snacky Tunes. Take it away.
When's the new Grizzly Bear album coming out?
I'm going to say probably not for a while, considering that they're just starting the cycle on that record.
On the Can't record?
Yeah,
but,
I mean...
Yeah, but is that side project going to be strong enough for them to like put the whole Grizzly Bear project on hold?
I mean, I kind of think that like bands of that level can just kind of take their time. There's no real rush.
What are your thoughts on that? Would you put all of VHS or Beta on hold?
It just depends on the cycle that you're in and how proficient you're writing.
God, don't.
I'm just saying.
Look, just because someone automatically agrees with you, I don't need a smug look.
I'm just saying. I may or may not.
It really depends on the artist, I think. Some artists are, like, releasing records so fast. Like, Ryan Adams, I think, releases, like, a record a year. He's probably got so much material that just on hold where he can just do anything, I think. But some.
Doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Craig, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We have known Craig for a number of years. I met you when I was still in college back in Oregon.
Yeah, I'm old.
Old-ish.
And I lived with a whole bunch of your friends in Louisville when I was in Boston. And that's how we met.
Yeah, I mean, small world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you grew up in Eugene.
Partly.
Yeah. And,
really? I know that. Go Ducks?
Yeah, I have to.
You have to say.
I went to South. Interestingly enough, some other people in bands went to South. Marcus from Ambulance Limited, and one of the girls from Slater Kinney went to South. So, it's a weird city.
Yeah, I mean, Eugene's a weird... I mean, there's no way to other say it. Eugene's a weird city.
It's maybe one of the weirder that I've been to.
Welcome to the show. One of the things that we wanted to bring you on for is because of the way that you have guys started to release music recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is, for bands who've been around for... You know, as long as you guys have and have a built-in fan base, you're just essentially doing singles right now, right?
No, actually, we were doing that for a while through our own label. We ended our relationship with Assworks ended when basically EMI kind of got taken over and restructured and reformatted, which is happening a lot now. So we needed to figure out a way how to get immediate ideas out, and the way the internet works now, you can do that. You know, you can get to the public really quickly. And so we did that for a couple singles, and now we have a full-length coming out in September.
Nice.
Like at the end of this month.
Who is it coming out on?
A partnership between our label and another label called Cryon, which is a label formed from the people that administer our publishing.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Which is also a really good way for...
It's an amazing partnership, and I couldn't have really asked for a better situation.
And what's the name of your label?
Chromosome.
Anyone else on there?
We're just releasing our own stuff, and as we build it, we'd like to approach other artists, but right now we're just trying to focus on us right now.
That's a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, I mean...
That's a whole
so other... So we've... I mean, we always like to offer up some advice to some of the younger bands listening. You know, one of the biggest things about doing things on your own is distribution. That's really just kind of like...
Well,
the
that's changing too. I mean, we're still oddly in the age where hard copies of music legitimize you still. I mean, you know, you see a guy with an actual record, you're like, oh, well, they must be... Must be doing things.
They're willing to put the investment.
Yeah, resources. There's money behind this, and that gives it some sort of quality. But I mean, realistically, the four of us right now could make a song. We could get it mastered at my house.
Put out a onesie.
We could get the artwork done and hire some PR.
We could have crack pie at the record release,
and we could have songs in people's ears in weeks.
Yeah,
literally
days.
Days.
Have you seen Toasty write a song?
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Who?
Sorry. I didn't know her by her stage name.
Oh, yeah. It's one word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, that's the beauty. I mean, that's really been the beauty of, I mean, even, you know, 18-year-old bedroom producers who are just like, who have like no personality but have amazing songs.
I mean, we're in the age of the 50s again where it's single driven. I mean, it's not really as much about the record. I mean, Katy Perry can put a song out, and you don't even know what.
She's putting out her sixth single,
and it's
that's about to go to number one again.
Who buys the record? I mean, some people do, but it's more about that 99-cent click. And that's how the 50s was. Right. It was B sides and A sides of 45.
And you can
singles.
Totally tell when you listen to records. You're like, I mean, is this which is the track that you wrote because you needed to get to 8 or 10? Or 12.
Yeah.
I think it's 8 with Target now, right?
Is that what Walmart. It
is? What's Walmart?
That? You have to, it's like, it's only 8 songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean.
But I mean, and that's.
But that's, what, but that's really the indicator of.
I mean, when you think about it, it's more of like a DJ approach. Of
yeah, sure. Song and now, that, which has always been single driven.
Which has always been single driven, but it's just like, I mean, even I have noticed the shift on my iPod, where it's like, wow, I'm having less albums and more just like one song of a person that I don't even know who it, like, it's like, who is this? What alias is this?
Yeah, I intentionally kind of don't put singles on my main computer. So when I look at my iTunes, it's all records. There's no single songs on my iTunes.
Mine looks like a schizophrenic shopping list.
Yeah, like the restaurant with too many items, you just get nervous because you're like, what do I order?
Yeah, it's like Shopsins. Like, I don't know what
I'm doing. So why don't we have you play some songs? You just brought a playlist of songs that you're just into.
I did.
Anything off the new album?
I can play something off the new album.
Yeah.
But first, I'm going to play a song by a gentleman named Colin Blunstone, which is the main writer and singer for The Zombies.
Okay.
He put out some really interesting solo stuff that people just don't hear, so...
All right, cool.
I just want to give a quick shout-out to the Goon Squad that just tuned in.
Oh, are Mary and Joe listening?
Yes.
Woot! All right, here it is.
Saw your picture in the paper. My, you're looking pretty good. Looks like you're gonna make it in a big way. Well, I always knew you would, but I should've known better, yeah. And I should've seen sooner. No use pretending, I've known for a long time, your love is ending. Caroline, goodbye. Caroline, goodbye. Oh, la, la, la. I'm not saying changes to a day, no, no. I'm left with one thoughts of the past. Here's your song to help make them last. But I should know better, yeah. I should have seen sooner. No, yeah. No use
take control. Streams that flow into your dreams, the big blue open sea, that can't be crossed, that can't be climbed.
You know when the engineer like pokes his head into the room and be like, hey, that's a good song?
No, that was not a poke. That was like a like door flung open.
Kicked in through the glass. So why don't you take us through the... By the way, great...
You're yelling.
Great, great. I'm excited. It was good music. And plus, it was really loud in here.
It's always really nice when someone, you know, we've had a variety of like people come and do like iPod sets.
Yeah.
And it's really nice because I know that you're a DJ
and
that you love music and you can actually tell the difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wanted to come in here and play things that have been on my mind partly seasonally because I think that changes the way we all experience things. But I think a lot of people would expect me to come in here and just play like dance stuff for like
house.
Yeah,
by the way, if you want to hear people who can't DJ as well as Craig, please check out our podcasts on Snacky Tunes on iTunes.
I would never say that on air.
I think you just said that.
No, I. Anyway, so what did you play?
The first song was Caroline Goodbye by Colin Blunstone off a record called 1 Year, dude from the Zombies. The second song was off that first amazing Air record that I think everyone has somewhere.
Yes. Hidden somewhere.
Yeah. I also played Moving On Up by Primal Scream from the Screamadelica record.
To the east. That's not it? That's not it?
No. He actually just played it for you, so you know it's not it.
And then the last one was called Hulls by Mercury Rev.
Fantastic. Awesome. So, Craig, before we get on out of here and you play us a brand new song off the new record, what is on the horizon? Tour?
Yeah.
Onesies? New
merch?
We
have some one-offs.
Onesies on
tour? Onesies. Some new merch.
The onesie one-off tour?
We start
Don't finger point
a tour with Ladytron.
They got a new album coming out too,
yeah,
right?
So that's why we're kind of...
Holy crap, that is taking me back. Ladytron and Vince have been on tour. It's taking me back to like mid-2000s.
But you guys have been together. You guys tour a lot together.
Ladytron and us have never toured, but I've known those people for a while.
You've known them for a while?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice save.
Thank you. Thank you.
Research done real well here.
I mean, there's a decent chance we would have played with a band like that over the years, but we just haven't, which is kind of...
You don't have to save him from his bad research.
I'm looking at Wikipedia right here. It says... Anyway.
Yeah, so we do that, and then we're kind of just doing major markets right now. I think it's just uneconomical to get out there and play. I mean, we've done over a decade of touring, and it's just like... Right.
Sorry, you know, tertiary markets.
Yeah, I mean, not that, but we'll hit that next year, festivals. And we're just excited to get a record out. It's been since like 07 or 08 since our last record.
We played your last record release at Studio B.
I know, and the power kept going out. You remember
that? Oh my God. I remember that. That was, I mean, minus that was a really
fun. It was a great show, though. I mean,
Studio
B. Miss that place.
Oh, my God. Do you ever make a Studio B? No, you never did.
Are you kidding? She used to do, like, the closing 4 a.m. sets.
aren't you the one who brought all the cookies to all the door guys? No, never mind.
Okay. All right, Craig. Well, for people
and bolts?
I was going to say nuts and... That's what I was getting to. All right, Craig, before we get out of here, as I was leading into, if people want to find out tour dates... Twitter,
you know,
website.
Yeah, all the normal social media stuff is intact right now. Twitter, Facebook.
What book?
Friendster. I'm just kidding about the Friendster. Just vhsradio.com too.
It's still, I bet your Friendster account is still there.
My personal one, I think, is, but I don't think the band ever had one.
You know what? Maybe they did do a purge.
You should check on that.
I know I lost my live journal a few years ago.
Did you?
So Rocket what? Ship, RIP.
So what's the name of the new song that you take us out with?
You know, I'm going to give you guys something that no one else has, probably because the record's leaked by now.
Okay.
Might not matter, but no one has this. This song's called Everybody.
Okay, well, hold on. I got one last question.
Yeah.
VHS or Beta?
Well, there's two answers. No, there's really only one answer. I mean, Beta was a better format.
Right.
It lost partly in due to the fact that the porn industry got on board with
VHS. There's no part.
Yeah.
There's no part. It's
I didn't know that.
Blu-ray, all that stuff. All those things are driven by pornography. God.
Do your research.
Yeah. That, actually, you are correct.
I am correct.
We're gonna leave on a correct fact.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The scumbag
for joining
fact
us.
That I know.
Thank you.
I can't wait. There's cookies out there, right?
Of course.
Oh, yes. My God.
And Craig, thanks so much.
Yeah,
and
when are you playing New York next?
Terminal 5, August 8th. August
8th.
Next year, we'll be here.
After Die Hard 6
October,
comes out.
October 8th.
Yeah. Amazing.
October
8th. Yeah. All right, great. Well, thank you so much. Next week, we have
DFA Records
and Tasting Table.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you.
Later.